The point is on top of that, they say it's all by chance. So if it's all by chance, then just because the, you know, the, what is called it, the, you know, ancestors lived in a cave and carried the club on their shoulder, right, like that, and, you know, had a scraggly beard and all that, and went out, and, you know, marriage ceremony means you go out, find the girl you like, hit, club her over the head and drag her home by the hair. I think that's the you know, the proper romantic method, and like that is, why is it that it turns, why couldn't it have gone something else? You know, why isn't the guy didn't wake up one morning with wings or something, and, you know, stuff, you know, it's just, that's the whole point, is that they put together their idea, because the point is they're trying to prove that there's an evolution. And it's not that the Vedas don't talk about evolution, but they're pointing about is in consciousness. You see what Prabhupada's talking about. It's all about consciousness. So you have to measure everything by consciousness. Like that. Does that make sense? Like, let's say we have two scenarios. Okay. One situation where the guy did an excellent job, but the mentality was really bad. Right? And someone else did a not very good job, but his mentality was really, really good. The devotees were very happy. The other one, they weren't happy. So now, how do you measure this? How do you decide which is good and which is not? Right? So now if you use technique as the thing, then the one who did the good thing but nobody liked it, then that's better. And the one who didn't do as well but everybody was pleased because he was very Krishna conscious, that's considered the lower one. But the measurement's not that. The measurement is Krishna's pleasure. Because everything's measured. Like political correctness means you're measuring it according to the what is the political situation that's accepted today. Right? At least right now, you know, by the afternoon it might change. You know, so that's the thing is that you're measuring everything. So that's the thing is, as a leader, you have to know what is the measurement, and the measurement has to be how it pleases Krishna, how it's in line with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And if it's not, then it wouldn't be used. You wouldn't take that path. So based on that, they may not take it, because we go back that far, most all devotees will go, oh, that's not good. But if we go into some other things, then they may take certain social constructs and they'll say, no, we should do this. But it's just being said today. But tomorrow it's not said. Yesterday it wasn't said. You know what I'm saying? So then you have the problems that come up based on that. And then being that it's not connected with the Vedas, it's not, and it's only by the morality deemed by, you know, at least some vocal individuals. You know, even if there's thousands of them, even if there's millions of them, still doesn't make it correct. Does that make sense? Because religion means nature. Like the religion of this piece of furniture here is to hold up books. That's its nature. It doesn't do anything else. You can't hammer nails with it or, you know, use it to scrape down the counter because it's got, you know, a little dirty and stuff like that. It means you could try. But its nature, its religion is to hold up books. Right? So scientifically, religion is science. Right? So in other words, the science is the knowledge of it. Right? And the religion generally is your practice of it, of application. But the point is, religion means the inherent nature is something you can't change. And so that inherent nature is coming from Krishna. So Krishna is religion. Therefore, to go against Krishna conscious principles of religion in lieu of modern, social kind of values, then that's non-theistic, because religion means it's theistic, it's Krishna. So it's non-theistic, you're going against Krishna. And then somehow another saying, because this group of intellectuals says so, it's right, it's the truth. When Krishna's truth, he's tattva, he's satya. And these guys are, you know, just being paid. Right? Does that make sense? So it's because they're being paid to say that. That's why they say it. Whether they believe it or not, that's another thing. You know, at least in the academic field, you just have to say what you're paid to say. You know, like in, let's say, what is it, Sorbonne in France? There's an atheistic college, university. You do not talk about God. Even if you believe in God, you just don't talk about it. And you'll get paid. But if you talk about God, they will fire you. So it's just a matter of, you know, you want your job, you don't say anything. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is Krishna is truth. And this whole idea is just because it's there on the internet, people are saying it, it's the modern thing, it's the fad, and all that. And it may even agree with our own conditioning, the things that we value. It doesn't make it truth. So that's why we always have to be very, very careful, is that it's just made up. And even though they'll say it, it's important in one area, another area of science completely disagrees. It means I don't think there's any two branches of science, any discipline that agrees with each other. Each one thinks the other one is useless. And without them, the other ones won't happen. You know, so that's the difficulty. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So I thought perhaps a good example of this is from the story of devotees who are going to, in the United States, to have this Kirtan festival.
Okay.
So there are many of these, you know, non-devotional performances, and Krishna does and others. And there are thousands of people, so devotees obviously go there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very surprised to hear from one of these devotees who is frequently attending these kind of festivals that many of these people who are there, who are vegetarians, who are into New Age, you know, mm-hmm. the good stuff,
mm-hmm.
and he said that they hate devotees and they hate what devotees stand for. They wish that devotees would not be there.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps this would be a good example of vegetarian yavana.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
the mentality is completely against it.
Yes. Yes. So they're against the Vedic version. That's all. So it's yes, that's a good example. Yes.
Yeah, well, I was recently invited into a radio production about the Jewish life of international.
Mm. Yes.
So
yeah.
There was one professional psychiatrist.
Okay.
Something that's like one
regressions, okay.
And a boss.
Oh, okay. That does.
And,
very balanced, wide.
And immediately, okay, I wasn't the target actually so much, but immediately this scientific psychiatrist, he attacked this, even before the discussion, he did this. Scientific proof, and he was going with this science, and it has not been, you know, done experiments on which are scientifically acceptable.
Yeah.
This is. And then the discussion went on, and it was a little, I wasn't so much, it was most a little fight between these two, and I think I couldn't get in so much to say. but eventually I got to speak about, you know, the soul's real personality. And he was challenging, and then the leader of the program was asking, well, what is your conception about what is consciousness and what is the self?
To the guy.
Yeah, to the guy. And he's a
yeah, but then the point is how is that scientific? It's not proven, right?
Yeah, but you have it up like this, you know, he's talking, you have to have science.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
no,
it's all illusion.
Doesn't matter, yeah. Yeah, so that's the, yeah. So that's why we don't want to follow, we don't need to follow anyone else, because in this thing is, oh, we have to fit in, but none of them fit in with each other. Like we saw there, there's two people in basically similar areas, but slightly different disciplines. They don't like each other. You know, so then who are we fitting in with? You know, so that's why we have our own measure, and that's what we do. People don't like us at the festival, then fine. But the point is, unless they're a majority, then the kirtan goes on, and all the people who do like it, then they're there. And then those people don't like it, then either they'll get purified by hearing the kirtan, or they'll commit more offense and make themselves more, qualified for more inimical positions. You know.
You see, this guy, he's professional and he's paid to speak and act like this, but at the bottom, he doesn't believe anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. That's the whole. Basically, if you don't believe in Vaishnavism, the soul comes from matter. All philosophies. Why? You know, it's just like we use the term Mayavadi in a very general way, but we can also be very specific. It means that there are six systems of philosophy, and one of them is Mayavadi. Right? But in general, all systems except for the Vaishnavas, then the soul comes from matter. Like that. So it's not discussed. It means even those who are religious, then how is man made? Right? Like God took some mud, breathed life into it, and then you had Adam. Right? So still, again, coming from matter. God's making it happen, but it, you know, so that's the difference. One is saying so it's just happening by chance, but it's still from matter. So that's why if you ask them what's the soul, they don't know if it's the body, if it's the mind, you know, if it's something separate, they don't have no idea. But if you talk about that the soul is there and you're coming from God, and they don't have a problem with it, but they actually don't really know what it is. So that's the difficulty, is that all philosophies. That's why when Prabhupada says nirvise shunyavadi, that it means everybody, because they all have some aspect of that there. Because there he's saying, oh well, it could be illusion. So that's the nirvise shunyavadi. It's just a matter of how far he's taking illusion. You know, illusion meaning there's nothingness, or illusion meaning that it's just all oneness. So one's nirvise, one shunyavadi. Yeah, yeah, like that. So that's the whole point, is that what's the meaning of there? Of that. And it won't change his lifestyle. You know. Yes?
My brother recently took a religious course, college course, and there was a comparison of Eastern and Western religion. Mm-hmm. And their kind of conclusion was that in Eastern religions, the soul is impersonal, but in the Western religion, so it's personal, because you see Billy here. Billy is the one who goes up to heaven and gets the glory and the wings. So therefore, the soul is personal in the West.
Okay.
In the East, it's not. That was the
really? Okay. Story. Yeah, yeah. Billy as in Eilish, or? Oh, you didn't know. Huh? Okay. I'm sure they both be happy. Gonna get the wings. Okay. So it's not just the red-colored bulls get wings, right? It's just no, beyond your pay grade. Okay. Okay. Yes. Yes. Transhumanism. Yeah, no, it means always yes, yes. So it's the same kind of mentality. You see, it's the demoniac mentality that they identify with the external feature, as that's them, and so they want to continue that on. But if they won't be able to be successful, so they don't have to. you don't have to worry about it. They think so many things. Before they, you know, was it go back 30 years ago or something, they thought if they freeze you, then, you know, snap freeze, you know, then they can thaw you out later and bring you back to life and stuff like that, you know. So it doesn't work. You know, but yeah, they'll think like this. You know, it's just like I just saw the other day an ad NASA put up. That now it's been 50 years since they went to the moon, so now they're starting a whole thing about going to the moon again. Like that. So, but before they presented it as a more scientific thing, and this time they had like, it's, you know, the little ad is presented by about 30 people, you know, of all different, you know, backgrounds, all different ages, all different, you know, like that, and moods and all that kind of, you know, each one speaks one or two words, and it's kind of like all put together like that. So they're trying to make it, you know, accessible. Everybody can get on board with this, you know. So, yeah, that's this. They have nothing better to do. You know, it's just like it's just like, let's say you have a problem with your leg and you have crutches. That's already the beginning of cyborg. It's just not so sophisticated, that's all. You know what I'm saying? So you go back, the Greeks had cyborgs already. It may not go down so well with the steampunks, you know, because they generally like metal as opposed to wood, but yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. Yes. No, what we're saying is that the general thing is if you're more focused on the detached aspect of spiritual life, then you're going to go with grains once a day. Like that. Doesn't mean you can't eat more than that, but you're more than that means you're eating vegetables or fruits or milk or things like that, and depending on how you put it together. Like we'll have our breakfast and lunch and then at night drink some milk. So technically that's the same system as what they're calling now intermediate fasting. We've been doing it since the, you know, 70s in ISKCON. You know, that was just the normal standard. You didn't eat a meal at night. You know, those who are more into enjoying themselves than that, they'll eat grains all day. But it has more of an effect. You know, it's how you say, the body won't be as peaceful and things like that. But not that you can't use it and be Krishna conscious. It's just, we're just saying is that what I'm meaning is that these techniques have always been there. But nowadays, by observation, they see it, and then they see that they've invented something new. But it's devotees have been doing that for the last 50 years. You know what I'm saying? And that works nicely for them. Does that make sense? So it's the same principle. So whether they're eating one time grains or two times grains, but they're generally eating breakfast and lunch, not dinner. Does that make sense? So if you want to eat outside of that, then it will be something not so. Not grains. Does that make sense? And then if within that, if you want to restrict it, you make it one time grains. It makes it easier. Like that. But the principle is the same. So anything that works is Vedic. The difficulty is that because it's all being done by these, you know, modern scientific method, it's simply what they observe. You know? And so they have a certain number, I think it needs to be for scientific, it has to have a certain number of cases. I'm not sure what it is, but in many cases you see if they're up in 600, 900, 1,000, then, you know, it's considered a good case study. But you technically could go do case studies on 1,000 people, let's say here in Helsinki, you know, but you go through and what happens if all 1,000 of those belong to the same group? Then you're going to come up with your scientific theory that you're going to say is now general for everybody, but it only applies to a certain group. So the point is that they're just going by observation. So the Vedas, it's the truth is already there because it's given by Krishna. The person who made the material world tells you how it works. Now you can take that and observe it. So it's not that the scientific mind won't be satisfied, but it's that they never take anything from the Vedas and try to scientifically observe it. You know what I'm saying? So they have their own, because it's, you know, economically is what they're trying to accomplish. Okay. The people of this age will not perform any sacrifice. The mlecha population, because sacrifice means then you're regulating your life. People don't want to regulate their life. Right? Because sacrifice means you're voluntarily giving up something for the benefit of someone else. Right? So either sacrificing for the family, sacrificing for the community, the nation, you know, sacrificing for, you know, how you say, liberation, sacrificing for pleasing Krishna. So people don't like the sacrifice. It's just about themselves. So if it's just doing something for yourself, that's not sacrifice. You know, probably gives the example. The girls out in the, you know, the cold weather, scantily dressed, even though that's austerity, it's austerity in the mode of ignorance, so they don't get any, you don't get any benefit from that. They might become a good-looking polar bear, but, you know, but... Okay. The Mlecha population will care very little for performances of sacrifices, although performance of sacrifice is essential for persons who are materially engaged in sense enjoyment. Right? Because you're trying to enjoy something, you have to sacrifice. Right? Because if you're not trying to get any, just like if you want to make profit, you have to make sacrifice. You make no sacrifice and get no profit. So you want sense gratification, there must be sacrifice. Right? Because sense gratification comes when there's artha. Artha comes when there's dharma. Right? So dharma means sacrifice. Right? Religion means sacrifice. In the Bhagavad Gita, performance of sacrifice is strongly recommended. Bhagavad Gita 3:14-16. The living beings are created by the creator Brahma, and just to maintain the living created living being progressively towards the path back to Godhead, the system of performing sacrifice is also created by him. The system is that living beings live on production of grains and vegetables, and by eating such foodstuffs they get vital power of the body in the shape of blood and semen. And from blood and semen, one living being is able to create other living beings. But the production of grains, grass, etc. becomes possible by rain, and this rain is made to shower properly by performance of recommended sacrifices. Right, so here you see a mechanical aspect. Just even you want to make things work, there must be sacrifice. So if the sacrifice is there, then the rain is proper, production of grains and vegetables and foodstuffs is proper, the lifestyle is proper, so then everything goes on nicely. So the society can grow and everything. But as soon as sacrifice is not there, then these things don't happen properly and things don't work. Because again, it comes down to why is that? Because you're pleasing the Lord. The Lord's being pleased. Such sacrifices are directed by the rites of the Vedas, namely Sama, Yaja, Rig, and Atharva. In the Manusmriti, it is recommended that by offering of sacrifice on the altar of the fire, the sun god is pleased. When the sun god is pleased, he properly collects water from the sea, and thus sufficient clouds collect on the horizon and rains fall. After sufficient rains fall, there is sufficient production of grains for men and all animals, and thus there is energy in the living being for progressive activity. The Mlechas, however, make plans to install slaughterhouses for killing bulls and cows along with other animals, thinking that they will prosper by increasing the number of factories and live on animal food without caring for performance of sacrifice and production of grains. But they must know that even for the animals, they must produce grass and vegetables. Otherwise, the animals cannot live. Right? So it's the same thing. It's whether you eat the grains or you feed it to the animals and then eat the animals. but you're still going to go through the same thing. So they're thinking that they can function on their own, they don't have to follow the rules. But the thing is, we see is as these things are there, the things get disturbed. Yes. Yes, no, it's not efficient. So in a scientific community where it's about efficiency and this, you know, like we're very careful about the electricity and this and that, but we're not in this area. Because it deals with sense gratification, no one wants to be regulated. So that's all. So that's why we're saying is that in this case, the malechas, in this case, means they're not following sacrifice. So that's why they're called malechas. Those who are following sacrifice but are meat eaters, then they're not counted as malechas because it's regulated. Does that make sense? Like that. But here is that people just go against, it's Kali Yuga, so they go against sacrifice. They go against any austerity, anything that's going to be a restriction in their lifestyle. So we have to be very careful not to cater to that. Right? We can accommodate the people who are starting from there. But we don't adjust our philosophy so that it doesn't have these restrictions. You know, it's just like Prabhu was mentioning, political correctness means you're restricted in what words you can use in which context. So restriction is there. But if we say restriction by the Vedic, that's not proper, you're restricting. But political correctness is so restricting. A politically correct person, you cannot have a conversation. Because practically every third word you say is politically incorrect. And you can't keep up with, you know, like that. Unless you're on the internet quite a bit, then you won't know what's the latest political correctness. You know, but even that doesn't hamper them being politically correct. Even if it's the political correctness they're talking about is still from the 90s, it's still, you know, you can't have a conversation. Does that make sense? So the restriction is going to be there. It's just a matter of, is the restriction given by Guru Sadhana Shastra, or is restriction just vox populi? Right? And vox populi means what intellectuals are able to speak loud enough to catch others, you know, and present in such a way it sounds great. So, yeah. Yes. But you still get rain.
Yes.
Okay. And how much grain does Finland produce?
3 grains.
3 grains. Okay. But enough to sustain the whole country?
No, or only 3 grains, literally.
Oh, three grains. Okay. Yeah, he meant 3 grains means 3 individual kernels.
The good year.
Yeah, the good year. You understand is that basically most of what you're eating is imported. So even if there's rain, is it producing grains? Because somehow or another, grains don't grow in snow. Amazingly enough, that they just don't. You know, unless you count reindeer as grains, then you're producing. You're doing quite well. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, what's the meaning of it? But it's just saying, it's just like the human life is meant for moving forward in God consciousness, right? So, in one sense, even though it's not nicely following, you know, it doesn't follow the Vedic tradition, but do we find that a lot of people here have kind of a religious sentiment or support the state religion? Or some religion accepted by the state. Yeah, Sweden's another thing. So Finland, you have to understand what's in. It's different. It means that they had a state religion. I think in like Denmark, Sweden, they don't. Like it was being explained that the that the priests in that in Denmark, they can't speak on behalf of the church. They can speak on behalf of the state, not the church. You know what I'm saying? So here is that the church is there, it's respected, people follow and all that. So many are still following the old tradition that they've been following for, you know, hundreds of years. That's starting to go. But then you see is that you're having the effect in the weather and the things and this quality of life and the how things are going. So you're seeing the effect. So it's not that it's not that, see, Krishna is trying to take care of everybody and give them the opportunity. So it's not that he doesn't give them something. You know, it's just like because the son's misbehaving doesn't mean you don't feed him. You know, but it doesn't mean that he gets a whole lot of other facilities. So everybody gets something, and within that, they consider it nice. Does that make sense? You know, it means that if there's no snow on the ground and the sun is out, weather's perfect. You know what I'm saying? You know, the ice is not on the river, then it's good for, you know, bathing. You understand? So for them, that's great. But probably if you went to some other cultures, they wouldn't bathe, like someone was saying. Well, even here, I think even here is, even though the temperature is basically the same, means if you cut a hole in the ice and take a bath, and in the summertime when the ice on the top melts, the water under the ice is still the same temperature, right? Because the water under the ice is still liquid, but now just the ice on top is gone. But old tradition is that until the, you know, the whatever you call it, the longest day? The equinox. That's the equinox? I thought the equinoxes were the March and September. Solstice, yes. Till the solstice, you don't go, you know, out swimming for fun. You know, I mean, you come out of your sauna, dig a hole, cut a hole in the ice and take a bath. That you do. That, but you don't go, you know, swimming and playing and everything until the solstice. And I think it's that until the equinox. And then after that, you don't do that anymore. So these are traditions. You know what I'm saying? People follow them. They respect their parents. They respect the church. They respect authority. They respect the government. So therefore things work. And so you still have some quality that's there. But if you go to places where that's been given up, then it goes down. Does that make sense? But if in some places they all have a standard where everybody, let's say like Thailand, they have things, you know, there in facilities like that because they respect their tradition like that, even though their lifestyle may be very different than others. Does that make sense? You know, so, but they're not, you know, because they have the religious things, they have all these things, so then they have facility. So when you lose these basic things of respect, you know, cleanliness, all these different things, then that's when your regulation, that's then when you see that everything falls apart. And as we get in places that are more contemporary, more up to date, and all these kind of things, there's less and less satisfaction, even though they can do a wider range of things. Does that make sense? So you don't hear that these cultures that are doing this get any better, any nicer. Right? Because it's considered, you know, everything runs normally and peacefully and all that. It's boring. You know, it has to be total anxiety. Then it's exciting. Does that make sense? So the whole point of discussing these is it's not that we're really worried about what the other's doing. It's that we don't become affected by them. And we also appreciate that if they want to know why they're suffering, this is why. So they're not following these things. So something's going on. So it's not that you're going to have the element that the devotees, everything is perfect and it's like the heavenly planets, and if you're not a devotee, then everything's like completely, absolutely hellish. You know, by our definition. Right? The Prabhupada's definition, what's going on here, this is hellish. Right? You know, he went to London and he said it's hell. You know, that, because it's just, you know, the sun's not out. It's not regulated. It's not, like here, it's cloudy, but it's not raining. Standard in India, the sun will be out, fully out, pleasant, nice. Dark clouds will roll in. And when they come in, it's raining where they are. So you can see the rain. You can actually walk quicker than it and get inside. Then the cloud will come, heavy, heavy rain, for about 45 minutes of that, and then the cloud goes by. And then the sun comes out. That's rainy season. Like that. Not like this. This is symptomatic that people are sinful. When it's cloudy and it's not raining, it's just cloudy all day, and that's a symptom of sin. You know, so if you have like this for 10 months of the year, something to, you know, understand from that. Is that? Yeah, that's what we're saying. They respect authority, they do this, they're religious, they have something. The point is, but that's all they have. You know, it's not progressing, it's not moving forward in God consciousness. So then how is that special? You know, like we said, Krishna takes care, he feeds them. But, you know, that's what's happening right now. You know, you go back a few years, it was a bit of a problem. So in other words, it's not black and white. The whole point is that you're just maintaining, Krishna's maintaining the creation. So he's taking care of the animals. Why is the living entity an animal body? Because they're sinful. But he maintains them. So why wouldn't he maintain the Malechas and Yavanas and Chandalas? He'll maintain them also. But it doesn't mean that there's not anxiety, there's not suffering, there's not all these things. So even they have all these nice things to eat, it's not that they're not suffering. Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's where you measure, is that. Not, oh, it's prosperous, it's nice. On some levels, you could say. On other levels, some would say it's not. Is that? Oh, human life, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is that true?
Seven lives?
And you don't get so much reactions, but the seventh life, you get a lot of reactions for all the sins that
you have. Yeah, but the point is that if you started off as Brahma, as that's life one, you know, and then after that, then it's Prajapatis, that's two, then the great sages, that's three. So our position now, you're looking at millions and millions of lifetimes. So our, even if that is true, our seven lifetimes is gone, you know, who knows how many lifetimes of Brahma ago, you know, so it's not now. Like that. Okay. So I wouldn't bank on that one. Oh, that's there. Yeah, but that's there. It's just that it's Krishna maintains them. So they'll consider, like one Finnish gentleman was saying, is that one of the elements of the Finnish culture is they just adjust. So for them, you know, winter's freezing, but, you know, for them it's okay. And the spring is, you know, what it is, and it's okay. And the summer is as good as it gets, you know, it's like, this is summer, and, you know, they're okay. And then fall, you know, you have the nice colors and that, they're okay. So they just, that's conditioning. So the Krishna allows them, one is that gives them a sense, so they're conditioned to that, they like that. You know, like, if you take a polar bear down to the Bahamas, he will not like it. You know what I'm saying? And if you take that, you know, surfer guy down to the Bahamas up to the North Pole, he's not going to like it either. You know, so it's just a matter of people are conditioned to the 8,400,000 species, and so everybody has their place where it is the perfect place for them. And so they like it, and so that's all. So, you know, the birds are out there, they like it, so it's just, you know. it's the same thing. Everybody is taken care of. But the point is if you don't progress, then you know you will be well adjusted to the local environment. You know, you will be that squirrel out there, or that bird out there, or that reindeer or something. You know. Does that make sense? So the whole idea is that how to make Krishna conscious available so that you can move forward. Right? So that means you have to be able to accommodate in about pleasing Krishna, because if we're just going to follow the Vedas, but that will move us up through the cycle of samsara, but won't get us out of that. You know, or even if we follow it for liberation, we may get liberated, but we'll come back into the material world. So it's only devotional service will take us beyond. So that's why everything has to be measured in units of how it's supportive, directly or indirectly, of Krishna consciousness, as given by Guru Sadhu and Shastra. Does that make sense? Yes.
This understanding which is maintaining even the inimical living beings, is that behind the instruction of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that we should not criticize anyone?
Yes, basically. Because the point is means the critical aspect, what's the point of the critical aspect? Right? Means you could go on criticizing all day, you know, the position, but what's the point? Why is it a bad position? Why is the position of the Malechan Yavanas? What's wrong with it? You know, what's the actual problem?
Yeah. It's not centered on Krishna.
That's the whole point. It's not centered on Krishna. That's why it's bad. So when you say Malechan Yavana, it's in connection with Krishna, just like Prabhupada was saying about the Varnashram. It's all in consideration of Krishna. Like the Brahmin, he has to follow the rules and all that if he's going to be a Brahmin, right? Because Brahmins and Kshatriyas, it's by qualities. It's not by what they're doing, it's by their qualities. Then naturally with those qualities, they do certain things. So then it's that you have that complete position there, but then when you bring in that passion, it's that plus a little bit more. So there's a little bit more baggage than just that connection to Krishna. Then the Vaishya is more baggage, the Shudra is more baggage. Right? So even though it's recommended, it's still it has a problem. But then when you drop down out of that, now you're moving from the Vedic culture, then it becomes even less progressive. Because like you were saying there, no idea. Here's an intellectual. I'm sure the guy who's there, he's a PhD and stuff like that. You know, otherwise why would they have them there? You know? So that's the thing is that they have no idea. You have a psychologist, he's probably one of the leading persons in his field. I mean, technically to be a PhD, you have to be the leader in your field in the world, right? Because you have to write a new dissertation. So, but that doesn't mean you still know what's going on. They don't know what the soul is, what the body, the subtle body, gross body. That means they're a psychologist, but they wouldn't be able to explain the mind as something that accepts and rejects, and that's all it does. No question of it. Or how actually reasoning goes on. The metaphysics of it, this, they don't know. They just know what they've observed. And so they've caught some things that are correct and some things are not, and they put it together in some weird way. And, it's like that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that one has to see is that it's the measurement is its relationship to Krishna. And so even here, when you find fault, unless that fault finding is going to show how the benefit of connecting to Krishna, it has no purpose. So fault finding is given up, because we're not, it's not about, it's because if we take it, it's wrong, based on what? Right? So it's either it's wrong because it's not connected to Krishna, or it's going to be wrong because the religion doesn't accept it, or society doesn't accept it, or my group of people don't accept it, or political correctness doesn't accept it, or, I say Wall Street Journal doesn't accept it, or, how you say it? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that it's, so finding fault without its connection to Krishna, that's easy enough. Everybody does that. Means finding fault is, especially in Kali Yuga, that's your claim to fame, is how much you can badmouth somebody else, right? So it's not, we see even in the 11th canto, when Uddhava is asking about these different positions, the karmis, the jnanis, you know, the different philosophical positions, the different sages and their philosophies. So Krishna is pointing it out, what's right and wrong. But at the end of the conversation, he says, this is enough of finding out what's wrong, because focusing on what's wrong itself is a fault. So we always have to bring it back up to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, then, how do you actually judge that it's wrong? So that's the thing. As soon as you add in, how does it please Krishna? That's then when, if you're dealing with politically correct things, that's then when the the circus starts. You know, then they have to try to say this or that or so many things, and you know, to try to prove that it's pleasing to Krishna. But if you actually analyze according to it, then how is it? Because even if the situation could be used, it's not the situation that makes it of value, it's the mentality. Because bhakti is the mentality, not what you're using. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, let's say, yukta vairagya. So, this principle of yukta vairagya is actually a very advanced term. It means that you see everything in connection with Krishna. And so therefore everything you deal with in connection with Krishna. That means the body, the mind, you know, your clothes, the floor, everything. You know, the air you're breathing. It means everything is being connected to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Well, let's say in the contemporary kind of forum, then will yukta vairagya means anything non-Vedic being used for Krishna. It doesn't include Vedic stuff used for Krishna. Right? Unless you're using it in a way that's not traditional, then you can call it yukta vairagya. You know what I'm saying? But it actually philosophically is an advanced term that someone doesn't see anything separate from Krishna. Does that make sense? So we have to be careful, is that we're saying, is like if we say, you know, all these things, you know, how is that, you know, but are you not using the airplanes? Are you not using the phones? Yeah, but you could use the airplanes for all kinds of stuff. You could use the phones for all kinds of stuff. So it's not the airplane or phone that makes it yukta vairagya. Because yukta means connected to Krishna, vairagya means with detachment. So what has that got to do with the airplane? Is the airplane connected to Krishna? Is the airplane detached? No, we're detached. We're only using it in connection to Krishna to please Krishna. That's yukta vairagya. It has nothing to do with what you're using. It's seeing it connected to Krishna, and you're not trying to gain something, karma or jnana, from it. So in other words, pure devotional service means naturally yukta vairagya comes along with it. Does that make sense? So it's the mentality. But otherwise, we tend to extend it to the external and then fight over the differences of how we think external should be used. Right? So that difference of opinion, that's where the fault finding comes up. But it's the weakness is it's not connected to Krishna. You're on the plane because you enjoy that. That's not yukta vairagya. That's a problem. You're on the plane because you're going for, you know, something to do with Krishna consciousness. Then that's fine. Does that make sense? So the discussion is just to point out where it's not Krishna conscious. That's the standard. Then the problem is you know, the material background in, you know, first of all, is as we started the discussion, is about externals. And so it's naturally going to have a discussion of what's right and wrong there. But then you bring it into the, you know, Mlecha Yavana culture, and then that's all they have is arguing with each other. So, yeah? Okay. Yes?
In terms of fault finding, has meaning if it's connected to Krishna. So, it came to my mind some of the songs of the Charis.
Mm.
It's just, you could say, it's just a whole series of self condemnation.
Mm.
And just a listing of faults.
Mm-hmm.
Many verses.
Mm-hmm.
But then comes the last.
Yes, that's the point.
You are so merciful.
Yeah, it's all about, the point is them pointing that out means that I'm disqualified, I'm not thinking of you. So the context is these bad qualities are symptoms of their lack of God consciousness. But because he is so kind and so merciful to, you know, like that, then therefore he's the only shelter. And it's only by his grace that we can get anything. So the context is always in, it's not good because of its relationship to Krishna. Or lack of relationship to Krishna. Yeah, so that's the point. So there's no mode of ignorance there. They know, it says, because otherwise if I'm identifying, oh, I'm so bad, but I'm not, the soul is liberated, the soul is eternal, where's the bad? Not Krishna conscious, no, that's the problem. You know, like that, because then they're not happy, Krishna's not happy. But as soon as you bring, but they're always doing it in the context of Krishna, so there's no problem there's no mode of ignorance. It's not, how do you say, insecurity. There's no insecurity, because you see there is that they're very confident that Krishna is merciful. That's one of the, you know, the symptoms of advanced devotion, is that confidence that Krishna is you know, going to take care. Because, you know, he is anyway, everything's going on. Does that make sense? Yes.
In Bhagavatam there is a description of Vilasvarga, the subterranean heavens.
Right.
And it is stated very clearly that the level of opulence and sense enjoyment is higher than in Svarga Loka.
Yes.
But practically speaking, I never heard any devotees or non-devotees explaining how this living results which are desired by everybody. And my second question is, even in India, why materialistic people aim for Svarga Loka, not for Vila Svarga, if it's simple equation. If I'm going for pleasure, why not to go for the max pleasure?
Okay.
Why bother with something lesser?
So mentioned you're trying to elevate yourself in Krishna consciousness. So if you've, here is that getting pious results, in other words, material facilities, material sense gratification is a result of pious activity. No? Not from impious activity. So here is, we take it that, how you say, we're working in an environment of non-devotion, non-Vedic. So therefore, us and our people or our community, we're the good guys, right? So then the demons are the ones that are outside of that, going against that, right? So the idea of demon and Vedic culture, we'll never consider them the same. It's always demon means he's not following Vedic culture. But the point is demon means they don't depend upon the Lord. They don't care about the Lord. While Sura or demigod means they care about the Lord, the devotees. So the demigods are all devotees. And the demons are not devotees. But they performed pious activities to get whatever they did. So they all follow the Vedas to gain whatever they gain in those positions. But since the demigods, it's about service to the Lord, then they want the material facilities, because being neophytes, they have a tendency towards material engagement, attachment. But there's also the consideration of the work for the Lord, and you know, they manage the universe. You know, and they know that Krishna is behind it all. Whether they remember him regularly or not, it's another thing. But so they're engaged in their activities, their responsibilities, and all that. So that means there's less time for sense gratification, even though the amount that they have is much greater than here. But for the demons, means it's not about God, so it's not about responsibility and all that. So everything they do is just for sense gratification. But they got it by following the Vedas. Yeah, they're not getting it.
Just association without Krishna.
It's just without Krishna, that's all. So that's where they have more, because that's all they do. So they expect more. So that's the point, is that they're approaching Krishna as the rules of karma. And they follow the rules nicely, so they expect to get their results. And Krishna, they follow the rules, Krishna reciprocates. That's the point. Krishna, as you surrender, he reciprocates. So if you worship him as money and follow the rules of money, you get money. You know, you follow the social influence, then you'll have that. You follow relationships, you'll have that. You know, just the senses, then you'll have that. But you have to follow the rules. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
So, in this sense, they are not impious.
They're not impious, but they're still demons. So, we don't have a concept that you can be pious and still be a demon. Because, see, it's just like, let us take the contemporary, you know, religions. Then, by looking at that, or the world religions, is if someone is very good, you know, and has good qualities, and is selfless towards others, will that simply be seen as piety, as good qualities, or will it be possibly seen as spiritual? Yeah. He's spiritual. Otherwise, how do you do work for others and not care for yourself? You have to be spiritual. They can't define really spiritual, so they just take high quality karma as spiritual. And so this platform getting onto Vijnanamoy, where they understand the soul and this and that kind of thing, they never get to that. It means those in Varnashram know they're not the body, they're the soul. But they just use it for sense gratification. You know what I'm saying? So even though they know they're not, but they're still taking advantage of it. So it's just a matter of, we don't generally put those together. We think that, oh, if somebody, you know, oh, Krishna consciousness would be so much nicer if everybody cared and everybody was conscientious and we had community and that. Wouldn't Krishna consciousness be fabulous? But what has that got to do with Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness is being Krishna conscious. And if you're Krishna conscious, then you see all living entities connected to Krishna. Therefore, you have affection for all living entities. Therefore, all the things you're looking for are in Krishna consciousness. What if you say, oh, if everybody was nice, where is that community? Where is it on the planet? You know, we'll say, oh, but the Mormons this, or the Amish that, or, you know, somehow or another, we'll always mention them, but we won't follow any regulation that they follow. Right?
Did I understand correctly, from the Vedic perspective, to say, pious demon, such a thing exists?
Yeah. I mean, how does Hiranyakashipu get to the platform that he's at? Did he go down to the disco and dance all night? And because he was dancing so wildly at the end of the night, Lord Brahma appeared and said, stop dancing, I can't handle it anymore, you know? He was there doing austerities according to the rules of scripture, standing on his toes, and he's worshiping Brahma, he's following the rules. Just problem comes is once he gets in charge, he does what he likes, you know. He likes fruit trees to always give fruit, so it doesn't matter the season, they have to give fruit. You know, so he starts doing stuff like that. But, you know, from doing that, he has the yogic siddhis that he can do stuff like that. But the problem is that, you know, it doesn't work out so well for him at the end. So if he just lives his life like that, or Ravana could have spent his whole life in Lanka, you know, living, you know, very long, long time. But instead, he has to go take Ram's wife. Prabhupada said, that's his only fault. You know what I'm saying? As far as the religious principles go, that's the only fault he made. We're not saying that he's a devotee. We're just saying that's the, if we're talking for a material fault, that's the fault. You know, so they're living their lifestyle and they're like that. You know, Rakshasas eat people. It says that's what they do. Right? You know what I'm saying? Rakshasa doesn't get a reaction for eating people because they're Rakshasas, they eat people. Now, if he doesn't eat people, you know, for the purpose of trying to elevate himself in God consciousness, then he'll get that benefit. But he's not going to get any sin for eating people. So if on Lanka they eat people, it's not a problem. You know what I'm saying? So he'll be there and all that. And so then, you know, life would go, but then he does something that's not God conscious. So then, I mean, opposed to God conscious. So then now it starts to have an effect. So he's done his piety. It'll run that lifetime, and then it'll run out. So, you know, like before, I was saying that they have facilities here. But that means they have some piety from before that they have facilities. You know, so they have all the nice facilities, but it just comes along with a bit of snow. But they have the facilities. You know what I'm saying? Somewhere else, it's snow on the ground. You don't get avocados. But here, it doesn't matter. The snow, you still get avocados. So that means it's a mix. They have a piety that they have this facility. So that's from previous lives. At the same time, is that they're here. And so that means there's that. So it's always mixed. Everywhere is mixed. Is that? Yeah. So it's just a matter of understanding that religiosity can be used for, dharma, artha, karma, moksha. And we're showing for Daivavarna Ashram how to use it for bhakti. So it's the same thing. That's why you see so many purports. They'll be talking about the Brahmins and the Smartas and that. And for us, we don't know what they're talking about. You know, only when it starts talking about Mlechas and Yavanas, then, okay, yeah, that's our boys, you know. You know. So so it's just a matter of understanding what you're dealing with in the universe. It's Krishna's universe. And so, yeah, the 14 planetary systems, how they're set up and all that. But it's different. It's just like you're saying, they have more sense gratification. But it's because they're not God conscious. It's sense gratification that they consider is very important. Just like, just for example, from Bhumandala up, you have day and night from the sun. But what's below, the seven talas below, they don't have sunlight. It's because the Bhumandala blocks it, right? There's no sunlight at all. And so there on the second and on the sixth, you know, levels there that, you know, you have the seven planetary systems. So on the second planetary system and on the sixth one, the Nagas live there. And the Nagas have the jewels on their foreheads, and that produces the light that lights that whole area down there. Because it's not as wide. It's only 10,000 yojanas wide. So the 80,000 miles wide. You know, one of those tallest. So Sutala is only 80,000 miles wide. Right? So then, from that, the light can go out and light everything. Well, like Bhumandala, it's fully all the way across. There's just a little gap at the edge. Does that make sense? You know, so it's enough that they get light. So then it's like being in a mall. You know, these inside malls? You know, they're always bright and light and designed for sense gratification. So that's how they live. So it'd be like living your life in Dubai Mall or something.
No, I'm really in the Shrivakisiddhanta Vaibhava. And it's, you know, having an upbringing in Catholicism, it's so difficult to read, to understand how Shrivakisiddhanta, basically from a material point of view, some people he was fighting against were perfect. There were saints. But there was one philosophical mistake somewhere. Mm-hmm. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, sometimes he was just, it was enough for him. He practically said that this person is a cheater or he's a demon or something.
Means when it comes to pure devotion, means that person with that mistake, will they get pure devotion? No. So that's the whole point. So if the measurement is pure devotion, that's where it is. They're cheating people. They're pointing out, they're making people nice, pious, they're doing good work. But will they get pure devotion? No. And will anybody following them? No. That's where the cheating comes in. But if you're looking in other examples, and you're talking about how people, it's just like Prabhupada will say, you know, it's like, India, because they follow Gita and all that, and he's talking about Gandhi and how he's, you know, committed. He's like the leader of the society. They're following Gita, and he'll be pointing that out as a good thing. Does that make sense? Because the context is that by following the Vedic culture, by following the Gita, they progress. And so even here, leaders of society are following it. So you're taking that example. But then when you take it further, when you get into Harijanas and all that, then, you know, then there's all kinds of things to say. So it just means the context. So if you're talking about pure devotion, then nothing other than pure devotion is going to give pure devotion. And so it has to be very clear that that's what we're working on. All these other things can be used as long as they're in context of pure devotion. But that being their context of pure devotion means you are using it in that mood. Does that make sense? It means I have, let's say, a materialistic mentality, and I'm attached to a particular thing. And that thing could be used for Krishna. And so I'm using it, but not necessarily for Krishna. I'm using it because I'm attached to it. But I don't want my attachment to be known, because if you're going to keep up the status quo, then you're not supposed to be attached, right? That's, you know, number one bad thing in our society, is to be attached, right? So therefore, then I have to present it that I'm being Krishna conscious by engaging in that, right?
And
yeah, and then when you're taking how you say, those who are following the recommendation, then I have to show, because I'm attached and I'm doing this, and I'm, you know, from at least my view, I'm good, I'm great. So that means the people are doing something else, there's got to be something wrong with them, not with me. So therefore, even though they're following the tradition, that's wrong. Because that's not practical, it doesn't fit this age, it doesn't this and that, they're not being honest, you know, or they are doing the same thing I'm doing just behind, so they're not straightforward, I'm straightforward, see, I'm out in the open, I'm fabulous, because being straightforward is somehow considered a, you know, an important thing. You know, even the Vedas support that, you know, being straightforward in ordinary dealings. But this is not ordinary dealings, because you're trying to make it spiritual, so now it's not ordinary dealings. But whatever, it's seen in that way. So I will try to present it that it's fabulous, but the mentality is wrong, because I'm going against the tradition. I'm simply using what I can from Shastra to support my material attachment and try to make it look as if it's spiritual. That's material. That's cheating. Right? But from another angle, that they're following, they're Krishna conscious, they're trying to be devotees, they have faith in Krishna, they have faith in the form of Krishna as a person, that will say all good things about and will offer all respects and everything like that. So we have to be very, very careful. Is that, as we're saying, the Yukta Vairagya is a mentality, not the situation. We're taking it that Yukta Vairagya means the situation. I'm in a modern situation. That's Yukta Vairagya. No, it's a mentality in which you connect everything. So Yukta Vairagya, you could be in a spiritual, you know, in a traditional or non-Prabhupada's Yukta Vairagya. He's in Vrindavan, that's Yukta Vairagya. He's in Mayapur, Yukta Vairagya. He's Bombay, Yukta Vairagya. He's in New York. So there's a consistency. Does that make sense? So there's basically we're discussing is how to measure things, because that's the whole point, is that as a leader you have to be judging things constantly. What's right, what's wrong, what to do. You have to be able to catch it. What is the method of measuring? Because it's not just, you know, whether it's this hat or that hat or this quadrant or this system or that system. That's not going to judge. Is it Krishna conscious or not? Is it going to progress in Krishna consciousness? Not just because I like it, so therefore I'm going to use a shoehorn to get my foot in a thimble or something. It's not going to work. Does that make sense? So that's the point. Does that work? Yeah. So that's why you'll see is that if the acharyas, they can be super strong on these points, at the same time they can be very accommodating. It's just depending upon what aspect they're measuring. Right? If you take that saintly person that they're detached, that they're, you know, following authority, that from that angle, then that measurement's good because it's indirect, but it's useful in Krishna consciousness. But the aspect that is being brought out is that that won't be useful. It's either it's a technique or a mentality. So even though the situation's nice, the mentality's wrong, it's wrong. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. So we're so used to, from the material conditioning, as we said, giving up Krishna is the primary. We take it that the secondary means the jnana and kriya aspects and the results gained from that. That's actually the how we measure things. But you have to measure it by its connection to Krishna. That's what is how they measure it in the spiritual world. Does that make sense? Why we're using the term always measurement? Measurement comes from the word miyate, right? From maya, which comes from miyate, means to measure. Like that. And so then, are you measuring by mahamaya, or are you measuring by yogamaya? Yogamaya means, in the mechanics, you're including Krishna. Mahamaya means it's just the mechanics, no Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's what we're talking about. Externally, look the same. So in one sense, you can talk about, yeah, we can use this, some technique that some materialist is using, and it may be useful in Krishna consciousness, but it depends on your mentality, whether it takes on a spiritual or a material. Is it because it's coming from the karmis, that's why it's of value? Or it's because it can be connected to Krishna, that's why it's of value? It's just which one you're using. Yes, because it comes from the word miyate. It means you have to know grammar really well to be able to do that, because this came up in a thing, I mentioned it. And one grammarian, they got very upset. Oh, it doesn't mean this. And then we came along, and then I think Jiva Goswami explained it. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura was taken from Jiva Goswami. And he gave the analyze and gave the Panini verses and everything like that. They had to accept that they, in their training, they had never come across that, because it was using much more technical. You know, it's like out of 3,000 sutras that are grammatical sutras, most people deal with about 1,200 of them. 1,200. You know, because most of them you don't see like that. Some of them it's like you have a grammatical rule. If you're lucky, you might see it once in your lifetime if you read a wide range of scriptures. You know, but it's there. So the point is, since it's there, the acharyas know it, and if it applies, they apply the rule. So the acharyas said, that's what it means, that's what we accept it. Is that? Yeah, good. Okay, so we'll stop here. Try. Antaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi.